Minnesota. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. In this last hour, we've got a special guest host, which will be Major General John Jensen, and we're going to talk to Joe Kelly, Director of Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Governor Tim Walz. And joining me now is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Sir, welcome back to our annual visit during the Memorial Day show.
Tom, it's great to be with you here again. What a beautiful view out the back window here of the office that we're in. I know last time we talked, we had to do it over the phone. I think that was back in March, but it's great to be with you. Social distancing is in complete play right now. I don't think you could be further away from me and still be in the same room. So, but, you know, and I say this with all great, you know, care, compassion, and maybe a little bit of laughter in my voice too. But, you know, Tom, you're at that at-risk population, so we got to make sure that we keep you, you know, in a plastic bubble here, because you're certainly a state treasure, if not a national treasure. So thanks for all your work you're doing again this Memorial Day. I know this is the 10th anniversary of your Memorial Day show, and it's my honor, it's my privilege to join you and be just a small part of this.
Thank you, General. And, of course, Sergeant Ben is with us. He's been with us since the beginning, and he's been in here trading out headphones and doing the social distancing and opening the windows, changing the air, disinfecting. And and our good friend Zach is back at the studio, and he's taking care of the boards again today. So he can hear you, General, if you want to say hello to Zach.
Well, that's good, Zach. Hello. I appreciate all your support as well. Zach's a very hard worker. You mentioned Sergeant Ben, he as well. These two guys keep this show together and going and moving forward despite all the disruption that you may try to bring to the show. Those two guys keep it going. So thanks again, Zach. Sergeant Ben, as always, you do fabulous work here as well. So thanks for your support.
Well, thank you, General. It's once again, it's Memorial Day 2020, unlike any other Memorial Day that we've faced due to this coronavirus that has hit the world. And, of course, it's some other anniversaries. It's the 75th anniversary of VE and VJ Day, victory in Europe, victory in Japan. And we've been losing our World War II veterans at a rapid rate, but they finished their service in Europe and Japan 75 years ago. Hard to believe, but when I take a look at serving in Vietnam, I came back from Cameron Bay 48 years ago. General, I don't know where the time goes.
So I heard you early this morning say you're on the cusp of your 50th anniversary of basic training. Is that true?
Yes, sir. 1970.
So were the Wright brothers your drill sergeants? I mean, was it that long ago?
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, it was not the Brown Shoe Air Force, sir. We had just transferred out of that a few years early.
Well, Tom, both of those are remarkable achievements. Your service in the Air Force, I know you're incredibly proud of, and you know, as the Adjutant General, that one of my joys is, in addition to serving with the Army National Guard, I get to serve with the Air National Guard. And so I always say the Army culture, the Air Force culture is different, but it's supposed to be different. It's not supposed to be the same. Two great services that I'm proud to be in a small part of both.
General, I think about my friends that we lost in Vietnam in the war, and I think even more these days about all of those that served in Vietnam that are dying or have died from exposure to Agent Orange, and it's part of the reason that I like to tell the stories on the Minnesota Military Radio to get all the doctors from the VA on to talk about all the great work they're doing to take care of all of our veterans. But sir, you've got a huge command, the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. You've got lots of soldiers and airmen under your command. Memorial Day, is it a day to remember those close? Is it a day to remember all? And, of course, I'm sure you're concerned about all of your troops to make sure that they're doing the best they can when they're in harm's way.
Yeah, you know, Memorial Day is a day to reflect. You know, I think day to day we kind of live in the moment. You know, we're living in the current deployment. We're living in the future deployment, but today's a day of reflection where you can go back and think of all of those people that have contributed to our nation through their service. And you know, specifically, it's kind of an interesting story. Today, I was thinking of Private First Class Andrew G. Biggio. Andrew served with the Red Bulls during World War II. He was killed in action in September 1944 up along the Gothic Line in Italy. Served with Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 135th Infantry. He was a resident of Winthrop, Massachusetts. And what made me think about him today is really 70 years after his death, through an interesting meeting, I got to meet his great-nephew, Andrew Bigeau Jr. And Andrew is a U.S. Marine Corps vet, Iraq, Afghanistan veteran, police officer there in Winthrop. But more importantly, how I got involved with him was I had the opportunity to help dedicate the town square to PFC Andrew Bigeau. And through Andrew Bigeau's service and his ultimate sacrifice, I got to know his great-nephew and just a wonderful group of veterans in East Boston and Winthrop, Massachusetts, that I try to go back to and help support some of their activity, specifically the Boston's Wounded Vet Run, which is a motorcycle event they hold for fundraising for severely handicapped veterans as a result from combat operations. And so just kind of interesting, here was a young man from Winthrop, Massachusetts, went and served his country in our great Red Bull division, and 70 years later I get to meet his great nephew, and I've become close friends, and got to learn a little bit about his story.
Traditions and military families come to the forefront on days like this. And General, I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of activity planned and a lot of activity going on. You've got troops over in the Middle East. You've got contingents scheduled to go to Africa. You've got the NTC coming up this summer. You've got troops scheduled to go to Guantanamo. And of course, once the first Armored Brigade combat team is done with NTC, they're probably going to be a big deployment next year. How has COVID-19 affected that? Are things delayed a little bit? Are they still going forward?
Well, it's had impact in certain areas, and in other areas, not so much. One of our units, the 1904th, actually got extended in theater because of DOD's no movement order. They were originally supposed to come back home at the end of April. It now looks like they're going to be extended and won't get back here until the beginning of June, so still a couple more weeks. And so there's a direct impact right there. Everyone else, you know, we've tried to keep everybody on their training plan, on their deployment plan, either if it's, you know, training for NTC or if it's a deployment into the Horn of Africa or Afghanistan. Charlie Battery, one of the 194 field artillery out of Alex, we'll be going to Afghanistan later this summer. But trying to keep just everything together. In the National Guard, we talk about our great ability to do both our state mission and our federal mission. And this has been a great opportunity for us to display that we can do them simultaneously. So this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we've been supporting Department of Health's community-based testing. We've been offering COVID-19 testing across six sites across the state. We're supporting that directly with medics and other medical personnel doing direct testing. Have another 100 soldiers supporting that event with administrative and logistics support. And meanwhile, while that's going on, 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry, out of the southern part of the state, is getting ready to go to mobilize and go to the Horn of Africa. And so I think it just speaks great volumes about the flexibility of our organization and the commitment to both our community mission here in the state as well as our federal mission, whether it's in the country or outside the country. And so it's an exciting time to lead. It's an exciting time to serve. It's very demanding, obviously, to all of our soldiers and airmen. And to this point, they're rising to the challenge, as we all would expect them to do.
And, General, we're going to learn as we go through the hour today with our guests from Homeland Security and Governor Tim Walz that the Minnesota National Guard has been, you've been standing right there next to him, and you've had troops handling personal protection equipment and managing those things, and now you've got your medics in training. It's another example of the state mission besides floods and tornadoes and those things that come up, and what a great use of an opportunity for our soldiers and airmen to stand up and help their neighbors due to a pandemic.
Yeah, you know, part of the 136 Infantry spent Easter Sunday up in Oslo, Minnesota again this year. in the flooding piece, and so are supporting that. And so a kind of a traditional mission, but yeah, the COVID-19 mission is certainly an untraditional mission that we continue to learn about and adapt to and provide support.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. Please stay with us. We'll be... Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my co-host for this hour is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And General, just before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the federal mission, which is what we talk about a lot. You deploy troops overseas in support of the federal mission, but every year the governor has the opportunity to call you up to fight floods, to fight snow emergencies, to open up armories, to shelter our citizens, and of course, we've got a pandemic that I haven't seen in my long lifetime, and the Minnesota National Guard standing there shoulder to shoulder with the governor and Homeland Security. And joining us now to talk about it is the Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. Good morning, Director. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning, General Jensen. I'm well this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to join you on Memorial Day. I appreciate it.
Director Kelly, General Jensen here. It's good to hear your voice. Tom, I got to tell you the story that, you know, obviously Director Kelly and I are in constant contact as we help the state respond to COVID-19. And, you know, every time my phone rings and it shows Joe Kelly, I just immediately say, uh-oh, what are we about to do? But sometimes he just calls me to check in on me and make sure everything's okay. So, Director Kelly, just consider this our call to you to check on you and make sure everything's okay with you.
And to make sure you got up early this morning, sir.
Well, there'll be no doubt about that.
Well, I was up early this morning, as you gentlemen can imagine, because I lowered the flag in my front yard to half staff in recognition of all those who've given that last full measure of devotion to our country. So I was up, and then, believe it or not, I started doing some coronavirus work until this call. But you're right, General Jensen, it seems like we're talking a lot these days, and I seem to have that effect on a lot of people. They see my number and think, uh-oh. Yeah. But appreciate the partnership that the Guard has with us in this response. We would not be doing what we are doing right now, and this weekend's community-based testing is a perfect example. There's just no other organization in Minnesota that has the capability to stand that up and to be that effective on such short notice. So as a former Guardsman, I'm extremely proud of what you and your soldiers and airmen are doing.
Well, Director Kelly, I appreciate that. You know, I think a lot of Minnesotans have gotten to know you a little bit over the press conferences that the governor has had since COVID-19 came to Minnesota. And some people may not understand what the Homeland Security Emergency Management or the state EOC is. So could you talk just a little bit about, you know, what is the role and the function of the director of HSEM, and what does the state EOC do for the state in these times of emergency and crisis?
Well, thanks for that question. The mission of my organization is to help, and I really emphasize that word, help Minnesota prepare for, respond to, and recover from all kinds of emergencies and disasters. And as Tom said in the intro, normally it's things like floods and tornadoes or wildfires. But in this case, we are helping Minnesotans and their communities respond to a global pandemic. The State Emergency Operations Center, as I've said many times during this incident, it's not an agency; it's a place, and it's a place where all kinds of our partners, from state, federal, and local government, and of course our very important voluntary organization partners, come together either virtually, as is important in these days of physical distancing, but also physically together to coordinate and figure out how we can best support Minnesotans as we deal with this crisis. So we are a coordination center, and we bring to bear all the resources of state and federal agency, from the Minnesota National Guard to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, of course, the Minnesota Department of Health, but many, many others during this operation. So we kind of think of ourselves as that place where everybody on the team comes together to help Minnesota.
You know, Director Kelly, you bring up a point that I think a lot of Minnesotans may not know, and that's the work you do as it relates to prepare and prevent. And although we haven't directly prepared for the COVID-19 crisis, this is not the first pandemic that the state of Minnesota has prepared for, at least. Maybe you can talk to us very quickly in terms of, you know, some work we've done in the past in other events similar to COVID-19.
Yeah, and I'm going to figuratively step aside and give the stage, and I'll talk about them on their behalf from the Minnesota Department of Health, because they are the ones who have been doing some in-depth and detailed planning for public disease outbreaks, pandemics, if you will, for things like H1N1, SARS. Y'all may recall a few years ago we had a scare with the potential of an Ebola outbreak. So the Minnesota Department of Health, of course, runs point for that preparedness. And as you know, General Jensen, preparedness is hard work. That's writing plans and training people on that plan and conducting exercise and trying to accumulate the stuff that the state might need if one of these things, in this case, things being a public health emergency, a pandemic, happen. So even though no plan is ever executed the way it was written, we are benefiting from the years, actually more than a decade of hard work on the Department of Minnesota Department of Health, as well as their infectious disease division and many, many others. But there's also a lesson in this for us in that we talk about all hazards in the emergency management business, and that means we need to be prepared to respond to anything. And that's what's happening here. We are leaning into and relying on the relationships and the systems and at least the plans as points of departure that we have in place on a daily basis to respond to whatever could happen in Minnesota. So as challenging as this is and as volatile and complicated and confusing, I think Minnesota's doing a great job dealing with a very, very difficult task, and a lot of that is because of the effort we've put into preparedness.
Director Kelly, we have you on every spring and have, I think, for most of the 10 years to talk about things like flooding and tornadoes and those things, and we have on the Corps of Engineers, and we talk about the training facility up at Camp Ripley, and it's all about training, and getting to know your counterparts at all those agencies in case of something like this pandemic. And we've talked about it year over year over year, and all of that training and all those people that you've met up at Camp Ripley and around the state has to have paid off in spades here with your duties now to be so busy with the handling this crisis.
It really has paid off. We say we probably worn out the phrase that you know, standing in the middle of an emergency is no time to exchange business cards. That's a truism, and we see those strong relationships helping us through this now, particularly as we respond to stuff and deal with things that we haven't thought about in detail and we don't necessarily have a specific plan for. But the other thing that's been very heartening is just the blending in of many people who have not helped us in the past and haven't been part of that emergency management circle. Folks from just about every state agency that, quite frankly, don't know a lot about emergencies, don't know a lot about public health, but they're extremely talented people who are putting their heart, soul, and brains into this thing for us and really expanding the state's capacity beyond what's structured for things like testing and contact tracing and all those kinds of things. So we are blessed in Minnesota to have a strong network of professional friends and colleagues to get us through this, and we're making new friends every day as people come to help with the work.
Director Kelly, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for all your hard work at HSCM, and please stay well, stay healthy, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
I look forward to seeing you in person someday soon, Tom, when all this is passed. And again, General Jensen, thanks for your partnership, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. So don't cringe too much when you see my number come up.
Thanks, Director Kelly. Appreciate it.
General, we have to take a short break when we come back. We're going to visit with Senator Amy Klobuchar. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My co-host this hour is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. In general, it's interesting, some folks probably don't know that Joe Kelly served in the Minnesota Army National Guard, was Assistant Tag, retired as a one-star general, and went over to Homeland Security, and before we knew it, he worked his way up to director, and we've had him on the show every year because the Minnesota National Guard works so closely with Homeland Security and the Corps of Engineers and everybody else. He's kind of the right guy in the right place at the right time, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know, and Director Kelly brought up a great point in the sense that, you know, all this coordination from the different agencies, I can tell you, as part of COVID-19 response, the commissioners of Human Rights, Management and Budget, Health, Corrections, Admin, Veterans Affairs, DEED, you know, we've worked with all of them on this. And so, you know, he's absolutely right about this as a team.
In general, I have a special guest joining us now, is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day.
Well, thanks so much, Tom, and thanks, General. He and I have been exchanging phone calls. Now we can be on for everyone to hear.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. It's good to hear you. And thanks again for joining us this year.
Oh, well, it's just great to be on, and thanks for your good work. I know this is not the Memorial Day that everyone envisions every year. We can't be together like we always are at Fort Snelling, although we did a virtual ceremony, which I was very honored to be a part of. But I think it makes it more important than ever to remind Minnesotans to call people they know who are veterans or people who've lost people who have served our country, just because I'm sure there's a little bit of a hole in people's heart because things aren't quite the same, and we can fill that hole by just reaching out.
Senator, this is Tom Lyons. Thanks for joining us again this year. I know on Memorial Day that you're a busy lady. You're everywhere. I saw you in the news yesterday. But is there someone special you think about today?
Well, actually, I always think about my dad, and I'll be calling him after I hang up here because he served during the Korean War and always got together for years. He's now 91 with his Army buddies, and a lot of them are no longer with us. He actually served during Europe during the Korean War, and that's where they stationed him, and he always felt kind of bad about that. And he is always a reminder to me all the time about the importance of veterans. And then the other one was what you mentioned yesterday. I got to meet the family of Wes Westerman, who served as a cook during the Vietnam War, and somehow he was supposed to get a Bronze Star along with the rest of the 101st Airborne that did get the medal, and he just got forgotten. And after he died in March, his family was going through his stuff, and they found this out, and they called our office, and we got him the medal along with four or five other ones. And Commander General Jensen knows how usually we have a ceremony, and there's a lot of people there. So we just set up a table, or they did, outside their screen door, and I put the medal there and talked to them from a distance through the screen door. And they had the grandkids there. It was really an amazing thing. And it's just another example of a Minnesota family who's adjusting during this pandemic and doing it for their loved ones.
Senator, we're in the middle of the pandemic, and we're trying to protect folks that have illnesses and those that are over 65. And because of that, as you know, we've been broadcasting Minnesota Military Radio for 10 years. A few weeks ago, we had Secretary of State Steve Simon on, and he talked us through the process where those folks that don't feel comfortable going to their voting centers can put in an application to get a form to vote from home. And, of course, he was on to talk about absentee voting for our deployed military. And General Jensen and you have, I'm sure, talked about all the deployments that have been going on since 2001. This is a pretty important issue.
Right. And I'm actually the ranking member, which means the highest-ranking Democrat on the Rules Committee. And I've been leading these efforts in the Senate. And right now, as you know, 18 million vets, half of them over 65, 30% have a disability. So that's why it is so important to allow people to vote from home. There was a Wisconsin vet who's 93, and he didn't get his absentee ballot in time, so he didn't even get to vote in their primary that they just had. And those are the stories we're hearing all over the country. So what we're trying to do is get the money out. We are this bill called the Heroes Act, which has some good things for veterans in it as well, with VA treatment, also includes funding that I asked for. It's passed the House for our all of our voting all over the country, including in Minnesota. Minnesota's at 25% vote by mail. We want to get that way up over 50, and we're still going to have people at the ballot. That's important that we have early voting, which we do, so they don't congregate at the same time and have our polling places safe the day of. But more than that, we want to encourage all Minnesotans to try to get their ballot by mail and simply check out the rules on the Secretary of State's website when it gets closer to the election. Make sure you're registered, and then you request your ballot by mail. I've done it myself before. And,
thank you, Senator.
We've got to make sure everyone can vote.
Senator, we're fighting the clock today, live show, Memorial Day. I think General Jensen had one final follow-up question.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I know back in 2019 you authored the Burn Pits Accountability Act that was included in our National Defense Authorization Act. And I know you're looking and calling for expanded support of that act during the COVID-19 pandemic. If you can explain a little bit about your desire to expand that Accountability Act.
30 seconds,
sure.
Senator.
Yes. Well, we know that those that have been exposed to burn pits in Iraq or Afghanistan are more susceptible to their lungs can be in worse shape. There's all kinds of problems. And so we want to make sure that our VA system is looking at this when someone has COVID. And actually, I just introduced a bill with a number of Republicans that we're going to make sure that happens. And we've already set up a center of excellence. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina and I have worked on this along with Dan Sullivan of Alaska, and we're going to get this done because they're at more risk and they shouldn't be at more risk just for serving our country.
Senator Klobuchar, thank you for joining us today, Memorial Day 2020.
Thank you. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Senator.
Okay. Bye.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Governor Tim Walz.
Google.
Our Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My co-host for this last hour has been Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And, sir, we've talked a lot about federal and state missions, and we talked to Senator Amy Klobuchar and Director Joe Kelly, and good examples of both of those. And joining us now is our Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz. Governor, good morning and welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Tom. Good morning, General Jensen. Good to talk to you both.
Good morning, sir. Good to hear from you.
Governor, this is we've seen you on the television and radio a lot this year with this pandemic, COVID-19, a terrible thing that's happened, and I know that it's affected all of us, but I want to ask you today how it's affected Memorial Day and you and the things you usually think about on this day.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking that, Tom, and it's Memorial Day is always reflective for us. I have spent decade and a half I'm at Snelling on most of those days, and that's such a powerful ceremony out there, and not being there in person, I think maybe take an opportunity to get out there and just walk a little bit today. But and I also think, we in Minnesota, and I know General Jensen's heart's heavy on this, we lost three of our own in the Black Hawk crash back in December. And I think that first Memorial Day is always a real challenge for families. We know that. And I think not being able to be in person and talk about that has been hard. But it also, for me, as we're in the middle, as you said, Tom, of this pandemic, and I'm trying to understand what that means about sacrifice, community, and, the frustrations that come with that, you think of those generations that came before did that. I, oftentimes hear my parents talk about, they were younger during World War II, but when the uncles went away and my dad was Korea, and you think about, kind of what they put up with, it makes me think of that now. So it's different, but again, I always, I'm always appreciative of it, and it seems appropriate this year that we should pause and think of everybody who has done what they've done for this country, and we've got folks doing that today. Guard members, General Jensen's troops are out there really, truly on the front line of this. They're out testing today as we speak. to make sure we contain this thing.
Governor, first of all, thanks for remembering Command Chief Charles Nord and James Rogers and Warrant Officer Candidate Court Plantenberg. As you mentioned, we lost them December 5th in an aviation mishap. So thanks for remembering them. Sir, what I'd like to just ask you about real quick is, you know, your role of the governor of Minnesota. Obviously, you are, you know, looking at what's in the best interest of the state of Minnesota as you work with our federal government on COVID-19, but also in your role on the Council of Governors, you get the opportunity to take more of a national approach to problem solving with our federal government. Maybe you can talk about a little bit about what you are doing personally, as well as what our governors are doing across the country as it relates to Title 32502F.
Yeah, well, thank you, General Jensen. And this was a proposal kind of interesting as I was serving on the Armed Services Committee in Congress back several years ago. We wrote into the National Defense Authorization Act the Council of Governors. The president appoints 10 governors who serve as being kind of the liaison on National Guard, both as federal active Title 10 and how that's interplays, but also on disaster response. And General Jensen is a humble man and won't say it, but I think Minnesota, I think one of the reasons President Trump appointed me to that was is the general's ability to be a leader amongst the adjutant generals. Minnesota has a large contingent of Guard, as you know, Tom, and your listeners know, and to have that seat at the table, this 502F, and during this time, we're really relying on the Guard, and states who were hit early by COVID-19 activated their Guard, and you need a percentage of your Guard to be activated before this kicks in. And what it means is that the Guard in Title 32 is under the command of the governor, but the federal government is paying for that. And one of the problems was in the Council of Governors, I think, is going to fix this thing, as many of your listeners know how this goes. If those troops are deployed for 90 days, they're able to receive the federal benefits that they have earned. Unfortunately, they set this up to expire with 89 days and leave us a day short. And the Council of Governors, which is bipartisan, by the way, President Trump appointed 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans, and there is no air between us. It is a unified group looking out for the Guard and the response in the states. I think we're going to get that thing fixed, and our peak on COVID is still coming. So it's really important to us, because I'm calling on General Jensen to use more of his troops on about a daily basis. Being thoughtful, I would say, Tom, the one thing is General Jensen reminds us all of this. Being ready on all the fronts to defend this nation and our allies across the world requires our troops to continue to train, our troops to continue to keep their skills up. And I think it's being thoughtful about, we're not just pulling all these troops off and saying all they're doing is COVID-19. We're being thoughtful about it. And that 502F gives us a great tool to make sure that if we ask folks to do that, they get the benefits they earned.
Thank you, Governor. It's a great sample of how the Minnesota National Guard and all of our troops can step up and take care of their neighbors in a pandemic like this. And Governor, thanks for joining us today. We're about out of time. Live radio, sir.
No, I know. I know you had everyone on, and I just wanted to say, Tom, I'm grateful. I do thank your listeners listening today. This is a hard time. I wish there were black and white decisions. It doesn't work that way. Those in the military know the best laid plans. Once you make contact or the mission starts, it evolves and changes, and I think COVID-19 is no different. The one thing I would just say is that we as a country have always found a way to come together in these toughest times. Memorial Day is... Anybody who's gone to Fort Snelling, you will hear no one talk about political allegiances out there. You will hear them talk about the sacrifices we do together. And so I'm always appreciative of you, Tom. You understand that well, and you make sure that our folks continue to reflect on that. So I hope you have a reflective Memorial Day, a little bit of peacefulness. And General Jensen, I get the opportunity, not enough, but I should do more of it, of thanking you for your leadership and guidance you provide me on a daily basis. So grateful to you both.
Thank you,
Thank
Governor.
General,
we're just about out of time. It's been a great Memorial Day morning, but it's gone too fast. I know that there's this afternoon you wanted to remind folks to take a moment.
Yeah, at 1500 or 3 p.m. today, we have our annual national moment of remembrance. So I ask everybody at 3 o'clock today just to pause, reflect, maybe say a prayer, and, you know, thank all who we honor today on Memorial Day.
General, thanks for joining us again today. And as we do every year, we'd like to end this Memorial Day show with taps.